Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a cool night in Boston. Temperature at airtime, 40 degrees on this November the 29th. One more day left in the month tomorrow. And then we'll be into December. So, November 29th, 2020. And it's 11 o'clock in Boston. I hope you're all doing well under these crazy times. I want to welcome you to the show and let you know that the chat room is open. And if you'd like to call in, the number is... 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, or if you're from outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. 914-803-4379. Well, I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving and continue to be thankful for everything that you have, and learn to be content with what you have. Nobody goes through life with 100% smooth sailing. I believe we're all being tested to find out what we're made of. But remember to what the motto of our country is, in God we trust. And let's stay true to that in good times and bad. And not get too depressed or too euphoric as the events reveal themselves. We have a lot on our plate here to talk about as far as what's going on in our country, especially with regard to the post-election controversies, and we'll be getting into that soon. But I just wanted to remind you that Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful, and no matter whether we have everything we want or not, we should still be thankful. I think the scriptures say be thankful in everything. And learn to be content. So I want to give you the latest in the coronavirus pandemic statistics. And let's start with the global figures. The total infected is 62,991,712 cases, and the active are 18,047,466. The number of deaths worldwide now is at 1,464,013, and the recovered, again a large figure, as I pointed out before, most of the infected have recovered. So the recovered figure here is 43,480,239. On the USA statistics, infected 13,710,183, by far the highest in the world. And then the active 5,347,148. The number of deaths 272,868. And the recovered 8,090,167. With regard to the number of deaths, it's gone up more than it has in the previous 2 weeks. The one before tonight's show, but this one went up from 251, let's say 252 to 272, or about 20,000 more deaths in the 2 weeks since our last show. So it seems to be accelerating, but continue to realize that if you were tested positive, that most of those people that have been infected are getting recovered. There are now 12 countries with over a million cases, and I was noticing how the number of cases, where China stands on the list, and that's where the virus emanated from, but China is now 73rd on the list. We have 12 countries that are over a million, and China is down at number 73. Let me give you the number of cases they have. It's a very strange figure. It is what it is, according to these statistics that I'm getting from worldometers.com. I'll give you the website, worldometersinfo.com. worldometers.info.com. But China is now down at number 73 of the number of the countries with the most cases. I believe they were in the 50s 2 weeks ago, and now they're 73rd. What is going on there? I'm sorry, 71. I've got 86,787 infected. Something strange there that somebody needs to kind of dig into that some more. But if they have some solution, they should be sharing it with the rest of the world. All right, like I say, I'm very suspect of these figures. I think I'm hearing some talk that in the USA, that if you die of pneumonia or some other malady, they'll treat you as a COVID case. Now, I can't verify that, but I'm hearing talk about it, and could be true. I'm very suspect of almost every figure that we get. The trust in our government is diminishing faster than the coronavirus cases are increasing. We have it's in God we trust, as the president said. In America, it's in God we trust, not in the government. Sad to say that we should have a government that we can be happy with, but I think now the Americans have become more and more distrustful, and they are looking to other sources for institutions they can trust. And I think many are going to the internet because they have lost faith in our media. Many view it as nothing but propaganda, the mainstream media. And so they look for other sources. They could be looking for sources that turned out to also be incorrect, but they have a right to choose which they want to support. I see now Fox News is dropping in support since they started to turn away from the efforts that the president is making to show that his election has been stolen, and that voter fraud stories are coming out on the internet, largely being ignored or dismissed by the mainstream media. But we have many of them on the internet, and you have to do your own research. We have a lot of talk about this software. They call it the software from hell, just like we had the hardware from hell on the Hunter Biden laptop. Now the software from hell is getting a lot of scrutiny, and it is what people think has been used to produce votes for Biden and cause Trump to lose votes. As the night of the election, when they broke away from the count, Trump was leading by a large amount in many of the battleground states, and then there was a period where the counting was stopped in the wee hours of the morning, and then afterward it turned out that all of a sudden it seems Biden was ahead and continued on until they started to call the election for him, and it resulted in these cases now being contested, lots of cases going through the courts, and hopefully it will be resolved in the courts. I think my own view is that the courts need to step in here, probably the United States Supreme Court, and determine what is the truth of this matter of fraudulent voting. Let's see, I want to talk about General Flynn has recently weighed in on it. The general was recently pardoned by President Trump, and he says he has no doubt in his mind that the president has won and will be eventually declared the winner. You can look for him and do a search on General Michael Flynn, a recent interview regarding the election issue. I want to now play a clip about the Hunter Biden scandal. And it's a clip that I think you'll find interesting. It's by Dr. Chaps, and the headline of it is "Millions of Dollars of Bribes Went to Hunter Biden and Pop." He'll talk to you about who Pop is. But let's listen to this one. I think you'll get a lot out of it. Dr. Chaps.
Hunter has some office expectations he will elaborate, end quote. So the $850 wasn't enough. He has other expectations, maybe travel costs and the such. In addition, the email outlined a provisional agreement under which 80% of the equity or shares in the new company would be split among four people. Let's go back to that email. We see the four people listed. Their initials correspond to the sender and three recipients, with H, apparently referring to Hunter, gets $20 million. The also lists 10 for Jim. Who's that? Oh, it's Joe Biden's brother, James. And 10 held by H for the big guy. That's 10 held by Hunter Biden for Joe Biden. $10 million for Joe Biden himself in this new deal from China, according to Fox News, who attributes the big guy to Joe Biden himself, according to a source who's also confirmed this email. Neither Jim, the brother-in-law, nor the big guy, Joe Biden, were specifically identified in that email that you just saw, but they do appear to refer to James and Joe Biden. The pay would be for what? For introductions alone. Again, let's look at that email. For introductions alone, what is he paying for? Access to the vice president. Money for access, quid pro quo. That email, among many others, was contained in a trove of data that the owner of a computer repair shop in Delaware said was recovered from a MacBook Pro laptop. It was dropped off in April of 2019 and never retrieved, but later obtained in person, not only by FBI officials, who reportedly didn't investigate or even destroy the original, but the shop owner made four hard drive backups and gave one of them eventually to New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani, former prosecutor, said Hunter Biden was handling the money so that his father, Joe Biden, wouldn't have to report it on his taxes. Well, that's illegal. He's money laundering for Joe Biden. And then here's the smoking gun. Hunter Biden wrote a text, which is recovered on the computer, to his daughter. And Hunter Biden wrote to his own daughter, Joe Biden's granddaughter, and said the following, quote, "It's really hard, but don't worry, unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary," end quote. Half your salary. Half of Hunter Biden's salary went to Joe Biden. Well, what was Hunter Biden's salary for? He received pay for introductions, millions of dollars from China, of which he held $10 million back for his father, Pop, or the big guy. Hunter Biden also received a $3.5 million wire from the wife of the mayor of Moscow. Here's where Russian money comes into Biden's coffers. $3.5 million confirmed went to Hunter Biden, of which, how much did he save for Pop? Half. Half of his salary went to Pop. Facebook, by the way, is restricting distribution of the Post's initial story on Wednesday, insisting they needed more time to fact check. Twitter also blocked any links to the New York Post story, but their CEO later apologized and called that censorship unacceptable under pressure from the U.S. Senate, who is now investigating Facebook and Twitter for electioneering. That's the news, or thanks to the New York Post for that story. I guess the guy, according to Chair.
Okay, well, how much do you know about that story, ladies and gentlemen? The laptop from hell, and it needs to be investigated. It seems to be getting swept under the rug, and it needs to be see the light of day as to whether the validity of it is true. So we need to stay focused on that and make sure that the proper authorities look into it. Contact your representatives in Congress and have them do their job. We don't need this kind of thing going on if this is what's actually happening. I heard recently that the shop owner where the computer was taken has now fled because he's been threatened. So he's left his shop and is not operating a business anymore. at least not where he was. Here's a repair shop guy that got involved in this issue and probably caused him nothing but pain and heartache. But it is a reality, and we need to not sweep it under the rug. We need to get to the bottom of it. Kind of reminds me of the birth certificate issue. Have we really gotten to the bottom of that? I am not personally satisfied. We have our conscience. What does your conscience tell you? These things don't pass the smell test. So, but we can be wrong. We just want it to be investigated thoroughly. So, that one you can get, you can listen to more of it or listen to it again on Dr. Chaps' website, which is www.prayinjesusname.org. By the way, there may be a tax problem that Vice President Biden might have for not reporting income that he may have received, may have been taxable income when he did get these payments, if he did get them. Some news coming out with regard to the battleground state of Georgia. President Trump has announced that he will be attending a big rally. They hope it will be a huge rally in Georgia on December the 5th. That's this coming Saturday, a week from yesterday, in Atlanta. So those of you that can get down there, we need to have a huge turnout in demanding what the mainstream media is not demanding, and have these voting fraud allegations and issues that are being revealed by the Trump legal team of Sidney Powell. Well, I guess she's working on her own on the case along with Lynn Wood, but the legal team of Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and I think Joe DeGeneva, those people all have indicated they have tons of evidence to support the fact that the election was fraudulent. They wanted to be heard in a case of law, since pretty well gone through many of the other avenues that they have open to them. See if there's anyone in the chat room. Nope, it's too late. I guess everybody's worn out from all of this activity. What else do I have? Basically, it's this business of voter fraud. We have these mail-in ballots. I'm an accountant. I do a lot of auditing, or I have done a lot of auditing in the past, and this just seems like a mind-boggling task. I mean, I'd have to get into the details to really understand it, but it seems like the mail-in voting has caused significant problems. And then, of course, we hear about people that are dead that are voting, and it's just mind-blowing, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have it brought before a court of law. There are some of the courts that have frowned on it, have been criticized for being in the pocket of Democrats, such as the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. Some of the other courts, there's a whole layer of court systems and a whole layer of courts in our system, and I'm not an expert in them, but to me, it seems like it has to go to the United States Supreme Court. And by the way, the new Justice Amy Coney Barrett has made a decision recently on a religious liberty case in which she was the deciding vote in supporting religious liberty, and it was a 5-4 decision with the five justices supporting Religious Liberty 5-4 was Justice Clarence Thomas, Justice Samuel Alito, Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Kavanaugh, the two appointed by President Trump, and the new appointment by President Trump, Amy Coney Barrett, and that made five, and it was a 5-4 decision, and had to do with New York preventing churches from holding services. I'm going to talk more about it in the non-live portion of the show. I want to give you the statistics. The Dow is closed at 29,910.37. It was up from 2 weeks ago, and it finally broke through during the week, broke through the $30,000 psychological level for the first time ever. A new record. President Trump came out and talked about the statistic when it happened, I think on Wednesday. The NASDAQ closed at 12,205.85. The S&P at 3,638.35. Both of those were also up, and I think they're at or near new highs. Gold is struggling. It closed at 1787.70, because it had been early in the year up to 2,000, but it was down from 2 weeks ago, as was silver, which closed at 2,270. Bitcoin, meanwhile, has been soaring, and it seems to be approaching the $22,000 mark. I think it had, that's what its high was some time ago, when it first was moving at these very high levels. So Peter Schiff has said he didn't think that it would get that way again, but it looks like it may be. The reasons have to be looked at, and you can go into shiffradio.com and explore what he has to say about the Bitcoin. He talks about it quite a bit in his weekly or periodic broadcasts. But for the most part, we are struggling here in our country, and we need to stay focused on what's really important, not get depressed, but keep using your three V's, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up, people. When I heard that people didn't know about the Hunter Biden scandal, and then they were, and then we found out if they knew about it, 9.4% of them would not have supported the Democratic nominee. That alone could make the difference in the election, mainly because they didn't even know about it. And the mainstream media is at fault for not letting them know. We've done what we can in the internet news and the different internet sites like InfoWars and the Gateway Pundit. I'd advise you to keep in touch with different ones. There's some new ones that are out that I just heard about. One of them is rightjournalism.com, www.rightjournalism.com. And there's another one, which is populistpress.com. So check those out, ladies. I just found out about them recently. We need to stop supporting the big media and start to have our own media. And Dr. Scott Lively, which I'm going to talk about in the non-live portion, is important in that regard. So I got to say goodnight. I'm sorry for some of the difficulties with this broadcast, but just stay on your toes, use your three V's, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of Money and Other Things Financial. So God bless you all. Good night, and God bless America. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the non-live portion of the show. This is a time when I'm going to be talking, and there's no call-ins, but I want to talk a little bit about an email I got from Dr. Chaps, and it's a post that he got from Patrick Buchanan, and it's on the Spectator. I'm going to read off some of the things that are puzzling with regard to this election. The 2020 presidential election is deeply puzzling. This is the Spectator, another source that I'd invite you to go to. www.spectator.us. And these are the reasons that they give. They first start out saying, to say out loud that you find the results of the 2020 presidential election odd is to invite derision. You must be a crank or a conspiracy theorist. Mark me down as a crank then. I am a populist. I'm sorry, I am a pollster, and I find this election to be deeply puzzling. This is by Patrick Basham of The Spectator. And I'm going to scroll down to where he gives the various reasons, and I tend to agree with them. The following are peculiarities relating to the election. One, late on election night, with Trump comfortably ahead, many swing states stopped counting the ballots. In most cases, observers were removed from the counting facilities. Counting generally continued without the observers. Number two, statistically abnormal vote counts were the new normal when counting resumed. They were unusually large in size, hundreds of thousands, and had an unusually high 90% and above Biden to Trump ratio. Late arriving ballots were counted in Pennsylvania. 23,000 absentee ballots have impossible postal return dates, and another 86,000 of such extraordinary return dates, they raise serious questions. Number four, the failure to match signatures on mail-in ballots, the destruction of mail-in ballot envelopes which must contain signatures. Number five, historically low absentee ballot rejection rates despite the massive expansion of mail voting, such as Biden's narrow margin that, as political analyst Robert Barnes observes, if the state simply imposed the same absentee ballot rejection rate as recent cycles, then Trump wins the election. Number six, missing votes in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, 50,000 votes held on 47 USB cards were missing. I don't know how these cards are tabulated. I would have to go deep into the details to really resolve these issues, but to have some common sense of understanding them. Number seven, non-resident voters. Matt Brainerd's Voter Integrity Project estimates that 20,312 people who no longer met residency requirements cast ballots in Georgia. Biden's margin is 12,670. Number eight, serious chain of custody breakdowns. Invalid residential addresses. Record numbers of dead people voting. Ballots in pristine condition without creases. That is, they had not been mailed in envelopes as required by law. Usually you have a crease when you mail something in an envelope. Statistical anomalies. In Georgia, Biden overtook Trump with 89% of the votes counted. For the next 53 batches of votes counted, Biden had led Trump by the same exact 50.05 to 49.95% margin in every single batch. It is particularly perplexing that all statistical anomalies and tabulation abnormalities were in Biden's favor. I heard somebody talk about it, and he's in the business of watching patents. All these patents make you suspect. whether the case, whether the cause was simple human error or nefarious activity or a combination, clearly something peculiar happened. Well, those were 9 items. If you think that the only weirdos have legitimate concerns about these findings and claim, maybe the weirdness lies in you. So there's just too many. It doesn't pass the smell test, ladies and gentlemen, and it needs to be looked into. We don't have a government that millions of Americans are not satisfied with what they're doing. They could be wrong themselves, but the government has the job of going into this in detail, and I think the mainstream media is not the ones to do the job. It should be done in the courts. It has to be investigated to the place where evidence is presented and judicial review is made and the whole process. That's where we have the courts to provide justice. Now, of course, we know that the courts themselves cannot provide justice, but it's the process that we should use. Anyway, I want to play to you a clip of Dr. Lively. He's recently produced an interesting clip. We don't have too much time, but I think we can get it in. Here we go.
The morning of November 29th, I'm here at Barnyard Studios to voice a video version of my most recent essay. Today, this afternoon, I will be doing the first, along with Richard May, Swamp Ranger broadcast. Change the name of our multimedia broadcast and live stream show. And this will be the first one. I'll be talking about the Pacific. And I'm putting it out, this alert that the show is coming up, and now a video version of it. A time for patriot uprising and tough love. If you will not fight for the right, you can easily win without bloodshed. If you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. Winston Churchill offered this stark warning to the British people in 1939 as Nazi Germany was annexing ever greater portions of Europe in violation of its prior assurances to the great appeaser, Neville Chamberlain, whom Churchill would soon replace as Prime Minister. Those timeless words of wisdom strike an especially poignant chord with American patriots today as we watch the feckless Republican establishment abandon our own Churchillian champion, President Donald Trump, in the greatest political battle since our founding. We citizen patriots stand at the third of the 4 stages, fighting against all the odds with only a precarious chance of survival. The outcome will be liberty or slavery, and it will be decided within days or weeks, not months or years. To quote another warrior on the Marxist side, on an issue the elites also won by cheating, the next 2 satirical paragraphs of, quote, this essay is an outre, madness, a tragic, cruel fantasy, an eruption of inner rage, end quote. Begin satire. Flashing red sign. Begin satire. I have never...
I'm going to skip his satirical section. Scroll to the end because I'm running out of time. So here he is again.
Satire. But I am a Christian pastor. I don't have the right to indulge my flesh or to urge others to do so. My Savior requires me to love my enemies, and so I can't justify the vigilantism my imagination wants to run wild with. Be angry, but sin not, says Ephesians 4:26. What I can do, within the bounds of law, ethics, and my faith, I will do. invest all of my skills, experience, and resources to defend this unique involvement of one nation under God. Our blood-bought constitution rests ultimately on his Bible and the true rule of law as it was understood by every generation of Americans prior to the created a new ministry under the umbrella of a non-registered, non-501c3 first century Bible church, openly and overtly cultural and political ministry of Swamp Rangers. As of this week, I have changed the name of my multimedia educational live stream and radio broadcast to Swamp Rangers, and I will use it and my contacts in the Remnant Church all across America to build a network of patriots dedicated to draining the swamp and going after every rat, weasel, skunk, snake, lizard, parasite, and rhino that dwells therein. We will promote and model campy but cunning constitutionalism, keeping our sense of humor, enjoying the fun of satire and parody with a textual theme, a 1950s comic book motif, as we do the serious of exposing and deposing leftist beekeepers wherever they may be. I've set January 1st, 2021 as our launch date, but I'm recruiting Swamp Rangers now to help with the pre-launch process, and you can inquire at scottlightlyministries@gmail.com. There should be recall and impeachment campaigns started against every tin pot tyrant in this nation, even those assumed to be untouchable, because that's how you build an army. I got my start as a Christian activist during the Reagan Revolution in the 1980s, running ballot measure campaigns and organizing patriots.
Okay, well, I don't have time to play the rest of that, but I'd recommend that you go to scottlively.net and listen to it. We're out of time. I want to close up with our closing song, which we do pretty much every 2 weeks. So God bless you all, ladies and gentlemen. Keep fighting the good fight, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone.
Everyone. such numbers that the